Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, with absorbed
it's a navy blazer,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
Yeah, yeah, I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlux podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlux team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week I'm joined by Becky Hull, Lou Half and Tor West. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
How's everyone feeling? Festive?
Yeah, festive. I am starting to feel festive,
actually. Are you?
Yeah, I am.
What's your secret to feeling festive?
Well, I don't know. I think it's just a feeling,
a vibe,
isn't it? But I tend to get very festive at the beginning of December and then annoyingly it always fades by Christmas Day, which is actually not.
I've got a secret to feeling festive, which is Jamie and Amanda on Heart in the morning. They are the jolliest pair.
Yeah, I do have them on as well. I also do like magic at Christmas because it's just all Christmas.
Yeah, but I quite like all the gimmicky chat around, like festive related chat.
Yes.
I need that as well as just the songs.
Have you all got your trees up?
Yes.
I think that is the best thing about feeling festive.
Yeah, I
was working from home yesterday afternoon, working in front of a Christmas tree full of lights. Brought me so much joy. It's so nice.
Yeah, so nice.
Yours is up?
It's up, yeah.
What did you go for in the end?
It's a Christmas tree.
How big did you have to go?
It's 8 foot.
Oh, nice.
It's quite big, but it smells so good.
Yeah, so good.
I just don't want to kill it now. Apparently they can take 2 to 3 pints of water a day.
Oh my God.
Shit, I don't think I've even put any water in my
And I know, I was like, oh, that's why it died last year, because I didn't water it once.
Mm.
And don't have it near a radiator, apparently.
Yeah. Luckily, our lounge is basically like being in the outside,
perfect.
So it's fine.
Perfect. Give it some water now and then.
What else? It's a Christmas party tomorrow. We were just talking about what we're wearing. Becky, you've got a suit lined up.
I have. A bit different for me. I always love the idea of a suit, but because I'm about 5 foot, they never fit. So I've had it properly taken up and adjusted. It's a velvet blue suit. I'm sure everyone's probably seen it actually from Zara. And Tor, actually, you kind of persuaded me to get it because Tor was like, oh, you'll definitely wear them as two separate pieces again. So yeah.
Tor, the fashion influencer.
Sorry, Tor over there. Swayed
love
me.
That. Our work here is done.
I'm looking forward to wearing it just because it's comfy as well.
Yeah.
To be honest with
heaven.
You. Comfy and warm.
A velvet suit is basically a juicy tracksuit.
Yeah.
I mean, to know you're in a tracksuit. Yeah.
My mum actually also just bought a velvet suit. She got hers. She got one originally from M&S and then she got it from Mango, and she also is tiny and had to have the trousers taken up, but I think really excited to wear it.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Yeah, I do feel that. Like having something taken up and adjusted to you just makes you so, I don't know, it just feels right. It just feels like you're ready to
feels
wear
like you're
it.
Made to measure.
Exactly. I'm good to go.
Lee, you've got two options.
Yeah, I've got two options. Either the sparkly trousers that I wore to the Clarins event, which are so amazing, they're from mint velvet, or that now feels like the less exciting version. But I also suddenly had the thought about wearing the dress I was meant to wear to my hen party, which has been gathering dust under my bed for 2 years.
Have you guys seen this dress?
No. Yeah. What colour is
it? It's insane.
It's like the sparkliest, shortest, like should be in Girls Aloud wardrobe repertoire. It's really fun. When George and I did our Harvey Nichols party try on behind the scenes special a few years ago, I found it then, and then it went on like mega sale and I was like, oh my God, I need it. But sadly, I've never had an occasion to wear it.
Oh, maybe tomorrow then.
So yeah, I thought, why not? But it's very peacocky. I'm not sure.
See how I feel. Also, rumour has it, just amongst the four of us, that it's ending at 8:30.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm getting a tan tonight.
A power hour. So, of your dress.
I'm getting a tan tonight. I've never needed it. Look at the colour of my hands. I never let anyone see my real hand colour because it never matches my face, apart from on spray tan day. And I mean, look at the difference. Like, that is not okay. Tor, what are you wearing to the Christmas party?
I actually, when you said about mint velvet, I forgot I actually bought some sequin leggings from mint velvet in the Black Friday sale, but I haven't really got the right top to go with them, so I don't think I'll be wearing them. But I have a gold pleated like midi skirt that I got in the Whistle sale about 2 years ago, and I literally literally pull it out every Christmas, and it just never fails to.
It's so good having pieces like that.
And every Christmas I'm like, oh my god, it still feels really like current and really nice. And I got some boots that I forgot I had from like ankle boots that I'm gonna wear that I never wear, and actually some earrings that Polly featured from River Island, the starry ones, which is her really nice feature the other day. I was like, oh, I'm influenced by Polly.
So. River Island has some really good jazzy.
Yeah, really good. They're like £14, and just fun little festive piece.
I think that's the best thing about like smart or like party pieces that you love, because I feel like when you have an everyday piece that you wear all the time that you love, you wear it every day and you start to fall out of love with it. Mm. Whereas when you have these special items, they're reserved for those occasions, so they still maintain their
specialness.
Yeah. And you then begin to associate them with feeling like happy and fun
and excited to put them on.
Yeah, exactly.
The only pieces I have like that are pieces that I bought. I've got a velvet blazer and a pair of sparkly leggings that I bought. I might have said this in the podcast before, but I bought for the Christmas party in 2016. And then I wore them at the Christmas party in 2019. So like, I need to get some new ones because I can't just keep wearing the same outfit. Yeah. I've been wearing it since I was 25. It's time to upgrade a bit.
If it ain't broke,
but it would be nice to put on
to judge it up.
I could literally do a flip book of myself at the Christmas party for the ages and it's the same outfit.
So what do you think you're wearing?
I don't know. I've got something on the way, a velvet. It's probably a dressing gown, but I'm going to go with robe, and that's perfect. But I don't know if it's going to arrive in time. So if not, I've got those blue PVC rotate trousers. They were in my wardrobe, and I actually haven't worn them yet. So I think I'll wear those with just some heels. A white t-shirt and a blazer. It's just not very festive, that's all. But if I borrow your belt,
thanks.
And then Lou's got one of those like Diamante belts, and I've got some jazzy earrings too.
Yeah,
I feel like that'll suffice.
I think jazzy accessories can really turn a look around.
What else has everyone been doing? I have been watching some shitty Netflix Christmas films.
Oh my god, what have you watched?
I tried A Castle for Christmas.
Oh, I tried watching that.
I
stopped 20 minutes in.
She
did the tour of the house, I was like, I can't.
And after the tour of the house, she went into the secret room and I was like, fuck this, I'm done. Sorry. This is Brooke Shields has made a Christmas film. I mean, it's probably the worst yet.
Yeah, and I'm actually really up for a shit Christmas film, but like there's shit and there's like just absolutely.
Yes, and it didn't make me feel festive in the first 5 minutes, so I was
What was that brilliant Christmas film that we watched last year with Kristen Stewart?
Oh, I love that one.
And Dan Levy.
Safari?
Last Christmas?
No, that was really bad with Emma Thompson. Sorry.
Yeah, that's really bad.
That was so bad. The Sixth Sense
really
one.
Bad.
So bad.
That's really bad.
Spoiler. Any of these? Sorry.
Just really quickly, this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen Last Christmas, but I don't think it's like the worst film to ruin. He's dead. Like, it literally is The Sixth Sense. Yeah. Like, that is the end of the film. It's like, oh, she imagined him all along. What?
Did she imagine him all along?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's really not a good film.
Yeah, it's really
not
bad. Great, yeah. Oh, you're right. The one with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, what is that called?
The lesbian couple and she's not out to her family. You've not seen it. Oh my god, guys, it's really good.
I'm also in the market for new Christmas films because there is only so many you can rewatch.
Love Actually.
Love Actually never gets old.
You know, last Christmas.
Yeah, I am too.
I did The Holiday this week. It is just.
It was on TV. It was on TV on the other day, on Friday.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I did watch it, but.
Yeah, it's really good, but I think it does. It's got like a time, I don't know, whereas Love Actually, I could just watch it again.
Yeah, Love Actually.
And again, and again, and again.
Yeah. You know what, I put Love Actually on last week and it's so long.
Yeah, it's quite
long.
I love it.
Obviously, it's Love Actually, but it was a bit like, oh God, they're still not even
airport
yet.
No. I'm legit obsessed.
Happiest Season was the one.
I never heard of that.
That's an odd name for it.
And what's it about,
sorry? Howard Dan Levy. It's about a lesbian couple and one goes home with the other one for Christmas, but only to discover that she's not out to her family and she has to pretend to be her friend. So it's like a really heartwarming story about family relationships and coming out. And it's a really good Christmas film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
lots
really
of funny family dynamics, isn't it?
Oh, good. Loved to
it.
Know.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Also, if anyone finds The Family Stone on streaming,
Lou has loved it.
So hard to find.
Again, I've not.
Yeah,
seen
because
this.
It's
awful. No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really put my foot down.
Agreed.
Family Stone.
I feel like Becky, you'll be really into it.
Becky,
you
know why Becky will be into it, because it is dark as fuck. That is why Becky will like it.
Why is it dark?
I've tried it so many times because I know you love it.
Yeah.
It is the most miserable film ever.
No, it's not. It's just she went for the wrong guy and then she found the one she liked.
But they're so mean to her. She's really misunderstood.
It's so funny.
Hang on. We should give this a bit of context. So,
I was going to say, can someone explain what the hell?
It's an amazing cast.
The cast is incredible, Becky. It will blow your mind.
I mean,
I'm not sure it'll blow your mind. It's Don't Look Up. But what a cast.
I mean, I can see Rachel McAdams is in it.
Right, so Sarah Jessica Parker is the girlfriend of Dermot What's-His-Face. Is that not
Dermot? Yeah, Dermot.
That's it. I know the guy from
My Best Friend's Wedding.
And she goes back to see his family for Christmas, but she's quite uptight and his family are like very chilled and relaxed.
Quite boho family, I'd say. They smoke pot and like...
Diane Keaton plays the mum and it's about how she doesn't really fit in, but then there's this like weird wife swap situation. Anyway, there's just these excruciating moments and then people are ill and then people... It's so unrealistic and it's so... horrible and I hate it.
I must
Sorry,
admit, it
it's
doesn't
my worst
sound very
film.
Festive.
No, it Charlotte has described it in a really neggy light.
Agreed.
We've got a bit 50-50 here.
It's a really lovely family Christmas film and I felt warm and fuzzy after watching it, which is what you should feel after watching a Christmas film.
God, what a divide.
It's really, honestly, every year I love it and it makes you feel like choked inside. Yeah. And the final scene is so emotional.
Yeah. You watch it, Becky, and come back to it.
It's sad, but also happy because they're all there's quite this dysfunctional family and I think that's quite representative of life. Like, not every Christmas film should be like, you know, Happy Goes Larry.
Disagree.
Anyway. Give it a go, Becky.
I'm absolutely loving how different the opinions are here.
The other one I watched last night is called Love Hard with Nina Dobrev.
No, but I've been recommended it.
This is a whole other level. It's not as bad as Castle for Christmas.
Is it a series?
No, it's a film.
It's a film.
And basically a girl, have any of you watched Never Have I Ever?
No.
She's a really hot guy in it. So basically, Nina Dobrev plays this girl who has a dating column and documents all her terrible dates and then meets this guy on Tinder. She lives in LA. He lives in upstate New York. And they meet on an app. They get on really well. And then her editor is like, okay, you have to go and surprise him for a good story. And she's like, okay, screw it. Like, it's amazing. And she goes to stay with him and all is not what it seems. And I watched the first 20 minutes and then I was like, basically, there's kind of a few guys and you're like, who's she going to end up with? So I actually just fast forwarded and watched the last 5 minutes. I didn't really care what happened in between. I just wanted to know who she picked. Okay.
Not
the best film then.
It was awful.
Okay, fine.
But enjoyable awful.
Okay.
So enjoyable that you fast forward half the film. Yeah.
Just for those special 5 minutes.
Finally, The Princess Switch. Are you into that?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah. The third one of that is out.
On Netflix.
I haven't even heard of any of these
films. Princess Switch is the Vanessa Hudgens Christmas film. Oh, you must watch the first.
Oh, I've switched off already.
But the third is...
Yeah, you've got to be... You're either into it or you're not, I'd say.
Yeah. But it's very festive.
Is it musical or no?
No.
Okay.
It's like The Princess Diaries on Christmas acid.
Ooh. A Sunday special, we think.
Yeah, exactly. Quite.
The other film that gets me every Christmas is Polar Express.
I watched that.
That's really good.
A lot of noise in it though, I realised.
Yeah, I like the animation. I think it's really beautiful.
The animation is incredible. We had it on when we were doing the tree and it actually was so noisy, but then I do think animations are just like that, aren't they?
And they're on a train.
Yeah, so. They are on a train, to be fair. Clearly I was
it's very festive.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I did watch a good one at the weekend, actually. It's called A Boy Called Christmas.
Oh, that's the new Sky one. I'd really like to see that.
Yeah, and it's based on the book by Matt Haig, and it was really heartwarming. It's got a touch of sadness, but it's not miserable by any stretch, and it's all about a boy called Nicholas and his very hot father.
That's a key narrative arc, is it?
Who goes to he basically are quite a poor family and his father goes off to work to help them bring in money, and anyway he goes on a journey to find his father to a town called Elfhelm, and it is just pure
it's not a cartoon
festivities. No, it's not a cartoon, but it's like it's just really festive and cozy and something that you can, you know, watch and really get into. And Maggie Smith is the narrator, so she narrates the story. And it kind of just comes down to what Christmas should be about, which is kind of looking out for others and being kind and thoughtful. And but with all those festive feels of, you know, that kind of like the Grinch where they go to that village and it's so pure fun. It's like that. So,
God, I love the Grinch.
It's really nice to watch at a weekend. It's cozy.
Oh, that sounds good.
My favourite is Elf.
Yeah, I hate Elf.
I've never seen you.
I know. I'm not a Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah,
and I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, same.
Because all my friends are obsessed with Elf. I just cannot get it.
It is my favourite Christmas film. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
It's funny, isn't it? How that's again a divider.
I think as well, it's like, we say we have these favourite Christmas films. It's what you've kind of not grown up with, but also what you associate in your head with Christmas and nostalgia.
Yeah.
And that
doesn't do it for you.
No.
It's funny, isn't it?
Mine's Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
A classic.
Brian in that case.
However, obviously it is a Christmas film, but isn't to me, it's sort of a Thanksgiving film about Father Christmas.
No, I think it's definitely a Christmas film.
The holidays.
It just starts with that. I am like 4 years late, but I finally got into Schitt's Creek. And last night we watched the end of season 4, which is the one where they have the Christmas party.
Oh, it's quite a sad one. Like a reflective one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like a different tone, I think, actually, to the rest of it. But I have like completely fallen in love with all of them. Yeah. And like, can't stop thinking about them at night.
So I love that feeling. That.
You haven't got to Cabaret yet then?
No.
Right. Oh my God. That is the best, like the best couple of episodes.
Yeah. And I know I've only got 2 seasons left and I just don't want it to end.
Are they going to do another one though, maybe?
I don't think so.
They're quite
I think it was a perfect little thing.
And right. Leave it. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get into that sometime.
Oh my God, Becky, it's probably too jolly for you, but it's so good.
Yeah. It's so good.
It probably is on absolutely. Becky,
have you tried This Is Us?
I haven't seen that. It's on Amazon though, isn't it? I don't have Amazon.
Oh, do you not?
I know. But it's been recommended to me so many times, so I feel like you'd love it.
It's £7 a month. I think you can.
I think maybe I could stretch. Yeah. Possibly.
Put it on your Christmas list.
Yeah, exactly.
The other less jolly thing that I watched last night was Succession.
I haven't watched this week yet.
Okay.
No spoilers, please.
So I have not actually really enjoyed this season. I really liked the first two. For me, this one has just been really slow.
I agree.
I just feel like they're going over the same things over and over again. I don't understand a lot of the things they're talking about. And I've just like found myself feeling quite bored. Mm. And then last night, again, the first half an hour, snooze, snooze, snooze. And then the second half, holy shit.
Really?
Yeah. This is why I messaged Charlotte last night being like, have you watched Succession?
I didn't see it.
Anyway, let's discuss when you have watched it.
I need to watch it.
But the writing in it is phenomenal. Whoever wrote Tom Wonsgans, I mean, he's epic.
He is. He's 100% my favourite character.
100%.
I didn't like it. I'm not joking.
I tried season one like 9 times and Ben kept saying, you have to watch it. Just keep going. Like to end of season one and then particularly season two will
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe I'll try again over Christmas when I have a bit more time.
Yeah. How many seasons are there?
We're only on the third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. It's amazing.
Just the writing, I'm just like in awe of like people who come out of that.
It's amazing.
It's so clever.
Interesting.
Just one more thing to recommend. I stumbled across a documentary series on Sky called The Movies. It's basically charts the history of film throughout the entire 20th century and through into the 21st century. There's 11 separate episodes to the documentary. I didn't go back particularly far. I started in the 90s. They've got the most unbelievable talking heads in this documentary. So they kind of divide it up into themes based on the decade. So it might be like, you know, one episode, you know, they might kind of do 20 minutes on a certain genre, and then it might be 20 minutes on like big name stars and you know, kind of the trends that were happening in film in those years. But I mean, everyone is a talk. I mean, Julia Roberts, literally Matthew McConaughey, every major movie star is a talking head in this documentary. Steven Spielberg, like Ridley Scott, everybody.
And it's called what, sorry?
It's called The Movies.
Okay.
And I could quite happily just watch 11 episodes on the 90s and the noughties because obviously that's our generation. Mm. They kind of skim the surface a little bit and you wish they'd go a bit deeper. But they touch on so many films that you kind of have either forgotten about or haven't seen for years or kind of, you know, stir something in you or that you haven't seen, but you remember the Oscar buzz around it. And it's just a really, you know, they talk a bit about the trends that were going on as well with like award shows and kind of the socio-political climates that influence these things and stuff. But it's not kind of deep and heavy. It's quite a kind of fun, jolly skim through all the movies of those decades, and it's just a really enjoyable kind of retrospective on film.
What channel is that on?
So it's on Sky Documentaries. Oh. I don't know if you can get it elsewhere, but it's called The Movies, and it's
that sounds
really
so good.
It does.
They've obviously made a couple of their own series because there's another one called, I think it's just called The Late Show, and again it charts the entire history of the Late Late Show on American TV and like where late night television came from. I'm not that interested in the beginning era, but when you get towards the end and they start talking about Jay Leno and kind of, you know, how it evolved into being the kind of James Corden, Jimmy Fallon type thing, it's also super interesting. So I recommend that as well.
Good to know.
Should we answer some questions? They're all very winter, Christmas, New Year themed, I'm afraid. Let's do it. Okay, we'll start with an easy one. Favorite Christmas song, Sarah Hewitt has asked. Becky. Gets you in the mood.
Oh my God. I think it's Shaking Stevens' Merry Christmas, everyone. That is probably my favourite every time it comes on.
Which one is that? Merry Christmas. That one.
Yeah, okay. I absolutely love that.
Yeah,
it just always, like it's not even necessarily my favourite, but when it comes on, it's like, that's the one that immediately makes me
it's
feel.
It's the little doo-doo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the tune.
Yeah.
It's the tune.
Lou?
It's really hard to pick. I love Driving Home for Christmas because there's like nostalgia, memories of me and my brother coming back from London in his little polo, breaking down on the M4. No. I love Jingle Bell Rock. I used to have it as my ringtone. And you remember when you could have songs as ringtones?
Yes.
Yeah. I used to have the Antiques Roadshow as my ringtone.
That also is my dad's ringtone still.
You remember when you had to type them out? You could download. Yeah, polyphonic. Yeah. You could download the
code. Oh my God.
And you make it. Yeah, it would be like BBA, CCD.
I remember I was doing a job and I was like in a fitting and like there were like lots of buyers in the room and then my phone went off and it was the Antiques Roadshow theme tune and I was dying and luckily they all thought it was like the coolest thing ever, so I was totally fine. Anyway, Jingle Bell Rock. And I actually really like the new Elton John and Ed Sheeran song.
Excellent tune.
Yeah,
very good.
Really
fun selection there.
Really catchy. Yeah. Oh, actually, I really like as well.
one song.
So they're all in my head. Is the Coldplay.
Ooh.
Hang on.
Oh no.
Not Christmas Lights.
You like a miserable themed Christmas.
That's
something.
Really bad.
That's
Christmas
my
Lights.
Least favourite Christmas.
Yeah,
Lights.
Same.
Well, for me, yeah, Chris Rea driving home for Christmas is definitely up there. I also love Band-Aid. It's a classic.
Yeah. It is a
like,
classic.
And it was a few, I think the year before COVID, they did like one with the nurses. They did it and that was one. And that was very emotional. The nurses were singing
They do remake that most years, don't they?
Yeah. Yes.
Charlotte and I were saying in the car yesterday that like there's a certain beat and like bop to a Christmas song that isn't like any other.
It's got like a unique, that's why, you know that Little Mix song, sha-la-la-la, like that wasn't a Christmas song, but it's been made a Christmas song because it had
I know the one
he
you
don't
mean.
Love you like you.
Oh my
do.
God.
That's not a Christmas song.
But it is. Because it wasn't.
Like E17 and Stay Another Day.
Stay Another Day.
That's not about Christmas, but it's a Christmas song.
No. But the music video is. In the white.
That's why.
But theirs is the tune.
That's a good song,
actually. But this will make... Which one?
E17. Stay Another Day.
Yeah.
Stay Now, baby. Yeah. That's a slow one, giving me
again,
beef
not my
about
fave.
My Christmas.
Wait, hang on. I have no issues with a slow Christmas because Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is one of my favorites,
lovely.
And Sam Smith's version is incredible.
Oh yeah, I have it.
Oh my God,
Sunday, yeah,
love it.
Did you guys watch that Sam Smith sessions? I feel like it was maybe this time last year.
No,
It was on Abbey Road. He did like a studio performance of his latest.
Oh no, it's
really good.
I've seen him live before. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
My favourite Christmas song is Baby It's Cold Outside. I love it. Yeah. You know, there is an Idina Menzel and Michael Bublé version as well, which is really, a lot of fun.
I know everyone loves Bublé at Christmas, but I'm over it. Every time he comes on, it annoys me. Oh, I just prefer the classics. Yeah.
You can't beat Slade.
Oh, it's, and I was listening to it on the way to
Exeter. It's called.
Yeah, it's
great.
I hate that one.
Do you?
No.
Yeah. I love that
too
one.
Too rackety.
Same.
That is like proper British Christmas.
That is like if you're at a party, you're all like, you know.
What about the Pogues? Like the Pogues?
No, I really dislike that one.
Oh, really? Okay.
No. When you go on a Christmas night out and they play the Pogues, I'm like, it's time to go home.
Yeah. I actually made a set. So I've obviously got a Christmas playlist, but then it occurred to me that it's got the kind of loud, like, rah, Christmas songs as well as the like chilled. So I made a separate chilled Christmas playlist.
Yeah, really nice.
Which I'm really enjoying, actually.
Really nice. And actually, I'm quite a grandma and I often listen to like classical, like Christmas carols.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, so nice.
So relaxing.
So nice, yeah.
Go to dessert to eat on Christmas Day. What is your family's? What do? Do you do Christmas pud?
But I don't like Christmas pud. Mm. So I am in the minority. I would always go for something like really rich and decadent, like sticky toffee pudding or like chocolate bombs
chocolate
or something
log.
Like that. Yeah, basically
chocolate bombs.
Just chocolate. Mm. Anything like thick and sticky.
Great. thick and sticky.
I don't like Christmas pudding. Sticky toffee would be my number one. We actually had this chat on the family WhatsApp group the other day and sticky toffee won. But normally we do something called Apple Betty, which I feel like I spoke about on here before, which is basically like apple crumble, but with the crumble topping, you also, it's like breadcrumbs and then you put big chunks of chocolate and then maple syrup on it. So it goes really crispy. Ooh, and then so the horrible. Chocolate bits are really
delicious.
Chunky, really good. Really, really good.
Oh, that's amazing.
Christmas pudding, and I absolutely love it. Mm. Oh my God.
Do you do just the pudding?
Yeah, I think we do mince pies as well, but most of us love and my dad calls
it. Do you put a pound in it?
No.
Cups in
And then Boxing Day, I with the leftover stuff, I always make Nigella's, they're called like Christmas bonbons, and you melt dark chocolate and then you crumble up the leftover cold Christmas pudding with the dark chocolate and a bit of sherry, and you roll them into little balls. and then they like they look like energy balls, and then you get
but they don't taste like them.
No, and then you melt white chocolate, and then you put a bit of that on, and you get some glacé cherries, red and green, and you make it look like a little Christmas pudding.
I mean, they sound really rich, but amazing.
But they're mini,
yeah,
and like with a little coffee, they're all like a little pudding treat.
I love that.
That's
yeah,
a great
really good.
Tip.
You can Google it. I think they're called like Christmas bonbons.
Yeah.
What type really of pudding?
We're the same. We do a Christmas pudding and probably some mince pies, and then
I do love mince pie
and the rest. But
cheese.
Yeah, but I don't need like a big heavy dessert after. Yeah. Dessert is so low down my list of Christmas Day priorities.
Same. For me, it's all about the savoury.
Yeah, agreed. What do you guys eat on Christmas Eve? You go out, don't you?
Every year we always go out. I don't know when that became a thing actually, but it's just quite a nice time because Christmas Day everything's so manic. It's the one time we actually just. You know, switch off when you're not in a kitchen for hours on end. So yeah, we've always gone out, but we do have big drinks in the evening.
Fun
most years, yeah, which I always look forward to. Actually, it's probably my favourite bit.
Big drinks is in like other people join you.
Yeah,
oh,
and
fun.
Like we'll do, you know, cocktails. Yeah, not so that you get like shit faced, but just to kind of bring the morning
semi
shit
faced,
just like a bit shit faced,
just a little bit shit faced.
Lee, what do you do on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, we used to always go out as well. We used to go back to my school carol service on Christmas Eve, and it like way back when, it was always quite fun because like you'd like still know the teachers or you'd still recognize some of the people's, and then it was like, god, we left like 15 years ago, we know nobody anymore. But it's a really lovely like Christingle service, so we've always done that and then gone for drinks with at the pub with friends. So like a meal at home has never really been a thing. It's always been going out and drinking.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm lucky in that my in-laws live like literally 20 minutes down the road. So we've always done kind of either or. So we either do like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then Boxing Day, and then alternate. And wherever we are Christmas Eve, we always try and do something that's really like non-Christmassy. Last year I made a paella, which was really nice. And then always, if something fishy is always quite nice, like a fish pie.
Yeah.
Or like one year my parents did like an amazing like kind of fish, like just platter of like amazing yummy things. Nice. It was really nice. I think something just completely like non-roast related.
Well, that's it. That's good. Well, we're doing sushi this year, which feels
that's so nice.
Weird, but
I
it
love
is,
that.
I think because the next day you're going so heavy, it's quite nice to have something a bit fresher.
Something
also
different.
So nice with loads of champagne.
Well, exactly. Fun. Somebody has said, are you New Year's Eve lovers or haters?
Hater.
We talked about this on the podcast the other day. I think everybody... Is there such a thing as a New Year's Eve lover?
No.
I used to be. I definitely used to be. I used to absolutely love it because there was just so much accessibility to friends and everyone was always available. Whereas now, I feel everyone's in such different locations. It's really hard to pin people down, even though you'd think New Year's Eve everyone would be available, but it's just not like that anymore.
I agree.
I actually tend to get I find it a lot of stress. New Year's Eve, I feel like I should be out.
I quite like the buzz of the New Year's Eve during the day. It's got like a weird like kind of energy about it. It's kind of like, oh my god, this is the last day of the year, and that feeling
I agree.
Of like you put on the TV and the fireworks are in Australia and you're like, oh my god, I like the day, that kind of like vibe.
I so agree with that.
But the evening,
but I think the evening's just always such a letdown.
I feel like any festival, you know, it's like going into London or going into anywhere on Christmas Eve as well. It's like it's like a shared experience, isn't it? So you know that everybody in the world knows.
Well,
I have that on the Jewish festivals as well. It's like, oh, I know that every Jew in the world knows it's this day. Like, I think it's just to do with that. But the actual thing itself, I'm totally with you. But then I also, a bit like you were saying, I can't do nothing. Like, I think it's the worst night ever, but I would never do nothing.
No, and it stresses me out to do nothing.
Well, so Ben falls asleep if we sit on the sofa. So the one year, I mean, this is like a decade ago, but the one year we decided to do nothing, I just spent it alone. I like woke him up at midnight, like, hello, Kiwi, it's New Year's Eve. Like, ruined all our fun.
So what would your like normal plans be?
A dinner party. Okay. That is easily the only way to do, the only sane, enjoyable way to do New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Pre-book your taxis, get your Addison Lee's sorted, so you don't have to worry about transport. And have a big dinner party.
Yeah.
I think that's the only sane way to do it, personally.
Yeah.
I've tried them all. I've tried the clubs. I've tried the restaurants. I've tried the house parties.
I'd love to go to a wedding on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I think that would be really fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Oh, we did that year before last.
Fair.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun. But I would hate my wedding anniversary to be New Year's Eve, I think.
I think it really matters that you don't do much for your anniversary, though, do you? I mean, like, you do, but, you know.
I almost think it would be quite nice because I feel like then just like the pressure was always off of it being about New Year. Anyway.
Yeah, but then you don't really want a date night every New Year. Well, I don't. So somebody has said, this Christmas is just going to be my parents and I. What could I do to still make it special?
I actually think because of everything that's been going on the last 2 years, having that time with your family you know, if it's a lot of people or a few people, is actually really special.
That sounds really lovely to me.
Yeah.
As long as you like your parents.
Yeah, I think just like relish in embrace that and not try to overcomplicate it.
I also think all the traditions still apply, whether there's 40 of you or 3 of you. You know, you can still have a glass of champagne in the morning and cook a roast and put on Christmas music and watch EastEnders. And all the those things don't go away just because there's less of
it's
you.
It's true. I agree. And it's the one time of year, we always say this, where everybody is collectively switching off. So I think just embrace it, whoever you're with and whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a similar note, somebody has, for our tips on surviving Christmas with family, with a gritted face emoji. Christmas isn't that easy for everybody because of family pressures. So if you are having to go home for Christmas and it fills you with dread a little bit, what do you think?
Or go to in-laws that you're then... I think not having it with your own family is also quite hard.
Yeah, so again, assuming you like your own family.
Yeah, difficult.
I think it's about knowing when to take yourself off for some space. And I think it's about, especially if you're a guest, because, I mean, we've got a big family and brothers, big personalities. And I do think when you're all back together and you need to adjust and someone's cooking, I think it's about knowing when to remove yourself from the situation. If you need to go for a walk to get out that person's hair, then do it and just like carve out a bit of time so you're not constantly on top of each other. I guess that's my best advice, but maybe don't get too drunk.
I was gonna say exactly that. Don't drink too much.
And just I think space is key, because I think everyone naturally is in each other's pockets, aren't they?
I also think like go for a limited amount of time. Like you don't have to be there for a week. Go on Christmas Eve. You can even leave Christmas night or leave on Boxing, you know, make plans and make excuses so that you're in and you're out, and you don't have to be there for longer than necessary. And you know, that stops things tipping over. It's when everyone spends too much time together that
completely
things bubble
over, and it feels forced. Exactly
Okay, let's move on to some non-festive chat. Somebody has asked for your winter skincare heroes. Go on, Becky. If everyone's feeling really... Actually, can I just say really quickly? I had a little preview last night of a show segment that's going live. It will be live by the time this goes out, with Michaela Boulder.
Yes.
And she was talking about putting sheet masks in the fridge. So I did it last night. And oh my God, I feel so quenched.
Yeah, amazing.
It's like the best hack ever. I felt really coldy yesterday. And it was just the most... It was heaven.
It's true, because everyone kind of poo-poos sheet masks. And I think obviously they are incredibly bad for the environment, but you can get eco-conscious ones now. You can get biodegradable ones. There are so, so many. And it's such a basic thing, and people don't think they do anything, but they really do provide moisture, like nothing else.
Well, Michaela's point, so that was Michaela's point to Georgie in this show segment, that she said there's basically an entire bottle of serum in one sheet mask.
You squeeze
it out. Wow. And she was like, you can't beat that kind of moisture.
Yeah. Wow. And it's like instantly a boost for your skin. You know, it's not a bad thing at all. And also she said that we're all super dehydrated. No matter how much you put on your skin, you're incredibly dehydrated. So you just got to keep layering it. And I recently put it on Beauty Spot. Actually, I discovered the Sarah Chapman Comfort Stress Cream, and it is so good.
It's heavy
yeah. But I think if you are suffering with dryness or you feel like you need to switch something out, I think it's so buttery and lovely.
I love that really cream nice. As well.
Yeah, that's what I've got at the moment. I actually messaged Becky last week, because I'm not very good at switching up my skincare routine. I feel like in the summer I had it like down to a T, and I've just continued with the same products, but it's just not enough. Like my skin just feels so tight, like around my nose, my forehead, my chin. But if I layer on like too much stuff, then it pills. And then also if I do something really like an oil-based cleanser or too thick a moisturizer, then I get breakouts.
Yeah, I think they say pilling happens when you mix your formulas, so it's probably like the oil and the something doesn't agree. I still think the same rules apply in terms of keeping things simple and just having a serum and a moisturizer, but I do think if your skin is particularly dry, it's just about using something a bit richer.
So would you say that Sarah Chapman one is like the best?
I just think it's really made a difference to my skin recently. And obviously a good hyaluronic acid serum, which we were talking about at La Roche, is great. And some of the sheet masks out there, do check them out, because they're so quenching.
I've actually got the Sarah Chapman one at home, so maybe I'll do that tonight.
Oh, it's lovely. Put it in the fridge.
Really comforting.
Tor, what do you use on your skin this time of year?
Lots of things. On the Sarah Chapman note, I think apart from the mask, which are amazing, that her face mist as well, I swear by. It's the de-stress face mist. It's so good. Oh my God, it's amazing. It's like pure hyaluronic acid. It's really, really good.
And you can put that on over your makeup, can't you?
Yeah. Throughout the day, it's so good. And I also, Lumity have a really good face oil. I used to be really weird with face oil. I would break out. Since coming off the pill, my skin is really dry. It's amazing.
Really?
I use it, I literally lather it on every night. Great.
This is why our jobs are great. So what I, on a similar note, because obviously you've tried Lumity from, this obviously isn't an ad, but you, but that's through our partnership with them.
Correct.
So I've been using the JS Health skincare, which only launched in like mid-November. Mm. And I swear to God, it is absolutely, like, I do not, oh, I'm normally amazing. The same as you, like yeah. where I start to feel really tight and it's like, you know, when you move your head and it's yeah. there and it's here, I have no tightness whatsoever. Yeah. There's a vitamin C serum, a vitamin C oil and a moisturizer and it, I am obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel really, you might disagree, but I feel really glowy under my makeup. Like I really love it.
Interesting.
I actually thought this morning that your skin looks so
yeah,
good.
So
all,
nice.
All I have on today is their vitamin C serum and their moisturizer.
And also because you're yeah, using the it. Same product, it probably is like layering nicely together.
I really, working really together. Yeah, and again, it's not an ad. I just love it. Yeah.
And I also am a massive, massive believer in taking some like skincare inside out supplements as well. Yeah. Like Omegas, so good for dry skin. Do you take Omegas?
Mm-mm.
If you suffer from dry skin, it might be worth it.
Yeah.
You can get like vegan ones. Bare Biology do a really good vegan Omega.
I was actually reading your Becky's interview with Lisa Potter Dixon on the site this week, which is so good. And she says that when she does people's makeup, she spends at least 15 minutes on the skincare before she does the makeup.
Yeah,
which is,
and she said actually, I didn't put this bit in, but she said it, that she focuses on face masks, not even for the skin necessarily, but because it does give you like a moment of calm. Doesn't
oh my god,
it?
Yes. So nice. I went to, we're talking a lot about Sarah Chapman today, but I went to their clinic a few weeks ago and had one of the speedy facials, which they do like downstairs in the clinic. And the amount of product that they use, I came out and just felt so refreshed.
Yeah.
I also felt like I could only eat healthy things because my face just felt so like nourished. And yeah, that made like a massive difference. And then did the LED lights at the end.
Dreamy.
So if you're after a little treat,
so good there.
Somebody has asked, what would you treat yourself to after finishing a PhD? Budget maximum £1,000. If you want to treat yourself, let's forget the PhD thing because actually that's not something for any of us anytime soon. But if you had £1,000 to spend to treat yourself, what would you get, Lou?
I would maybe go with jewellery because I feel like jewellery is something that you will wear every day. It won't date. It's not a trend thing. And when you look at it or when you wear it, you will always remind yourself of how you got to it. So I think that's a really nice thing.
Really nice. Tour.
Gosh, it's tricky. My brain is going lots of different directions.
Well, I was busy just thinking about what I want to spend £1,000 on right now as opposed to actual advice. But that's good. That is very good advice.
I mean, in the here and now, I would say the best £1,000 I spent recently is a Peloton bike.
did you get one?
Yeah, came on Friday. Yeah, so I've only used it twice. But yeah, it's seriously good.
Really?
I know I'm related to the party, but I now get the hype.
Yeah.
So if you're into your fitness, you will not regret that.
No one isn't obsessed with their Peloton. Everyone who has one is obsessed with it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know anyone who has like regretted it.
Yeah. No one is like, oh no, I never use it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Becky?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about objects, but I would say get yourself a weekend away or go somewhere or do something.
Like an experience.
Really, yeah. Like an experience to celebrate, basically, if we're tying in with the PhD. That is what I would do.
Yeah.
If you worked that hard, then.
Yeah. Reward yourself with a proper break.
Or if you're a foodie, do something really special.
Yeah.
Love like an insane spa.
That's what I had in mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's a bit of me. That's what I need.
Then you've done a PhD.
Yeah, do a PhD and then we can talk about it.
What would you go for, Charlotte?
I don't know. All I can think about right now is I really want a rug. I really want a rug. And rugs are, sorry, this is completely off topic for this person, but rugs are so hard. I don't want a high street rug. Like I don't want one from Zara or something. But I also don't have a budget of £4,000 for a rug. And it's so hard to find something in between. Mm. I'd like to spend like £1,500 on a rug.
Mm.
But
have
I can't.
Have you looked at Weaver Green?
No.
They're quite well priced.
Okay, thank you. It's annoying because it's not cheap. That's a big sum of money, but then it seems to only get you cheap rugs. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at. If anyone's got affordable rug recommendations, Weaver Green.
Weaver Green, have a look.
Lou, somebody said, what is in Charlotte, Lou and Polly's Glossier order? I must have said on last week, I don't remember saying it, but I must have said on the podcast that we did an order. What did you get?
It's so strange that we do a lot of online shopping between the three of us, all the things, it's the one thing we decide to share shipping costs on.
Because it's, I don't know why, there's something about that £3.50 that we just have to split between the three of us. I don't know.
That is so random.
I've never independently bought anything from Glossier. Yeah. Only on a
it's
mass order.
It's so strange. It's so strange.
We do always get heavily involved in those things.
I know.
I do often hear the conversation.
It's like doing the rounds. It included a Future Dew for me, Cloud Paint for Charlotte.
In Puff.
And Boy Brow for Polly. Oh.
Can I also add that I love the body... the shower oil and the body oil.
So nice.
Oh my God, my skin is so dry and it's really, really nice.
And they've got a really incredible soap that has like beads in. So when you use it on your skin, it exfoliates a bit. It's really nice.
And it smells like orange blossom and neroli. Yeah. It smells super expensive.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it's lovely.
When is their space opening? Is it open?
It's open. It is open now, yeah.
Where is it? Covent Garden?
It's Covent Garden. It looks incredible. Yeah. Really big. Get yourself down there.
Final question. We could be here all day with this one. Best Christmas chocolate, asks Evie Porter. Let's start with best selection box.
My husband and I had this discussion the other day. It has to be at the top, Heroes. At the bottom, Quality Street.
Hang on. But Quality Street, if we're talking Christmas, Quality Street personifies Christmas.
I agree.
It's not the best, but...
Yeah, but there's things that, like, tinsel personifies Christmas. Doesn't mean it's good.
But I actually really like Quality Street.
I think Quality Street.
Yeah.
Heroes aren't Christmas. Cadbury's is not festive.
I agree. I love them, but like they don't fill me with like festive fun.
Agreed. Mm. Okay. It's the wrapping for me, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going for what it means rather than what it tastes like.
No, I also like the taste. Yeah.
I love a strawberry cream.
We agree on nothing.
I hate a strawberry cream.
I love an orange cream.
I was actually thinking.
So Quality Street would be your number one of taste.
In terms of selection box.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with these two. For Christmas, that is what would prop to mind. Prop.
You know what's not festive as well? Celebrations.
Yes, they are.
No.
You can get them all year round.
Quality streets, you would never eat a quality street.
Ditto roses, but I think roses are less good these days.
Yeah, I don't think I've had a roses for years.
I haven't seen roses in a long time.
Yeah.
Roses are Cadbury's chocolate, though, and I would always put Cadbury's chocolate above Galaxy and Nestle right at the bottom.
I feel like Christmas is sort of about eating things that you wouldn't eat any other time of year. Like if you break it down, Brussels sprouts, turkey, bread and butter, but you know what I mean? You don't eat that shit normally.
Yeah.
Bread sauce, I mean. Like,
oh, I love bread
sauce.
You
just have to grin and bear it. That is what British Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
if you had to pick what's your favorite quality street or?
I have quite a few.
Go on.
Green Triangle is obviously a classic. Yeah. I have a lot of time for the purple one.
With the nut in the middle.
Yeah, delish. It's quite
That's
big.
That's not my favorite. We said that the other day.
Yeah, and I love Orange Crunch.
Love an Orange Crunch.
Yeah. Like the fudge as well. Crunch. The fudge is good.
Yeah, I don't like the fudge.
Yeah, well, there we are. Fudge and the creams.
Yeah, creams for me. Lou, go on then. You can pick your heroes. Go on.
I feel like I've had this hero chat so many times, everyone's bored of it, but number one is a whisper.
Again, would not be my
guy. How is that fair?
I'm not saying it's like, wow, how festive, look at this whisper. But in terms of enjoyment, I feel like you eat, to your point, you eat so much shit at Christmas, or there's so much stuff on display which nobody likes, which is such a waste of money and just effort. So I just think eat the things you like.
Absolutely. True. Have you seen that Lindor have bought out like a tub of the balls?
Oh, and I went to buy it yesterday, but then it was £10 and I was like, no.
Oh, yeah. Put the card back.
I was your friend for dinner. I bought balls.
Ferrero Rocher. I feel like that's a very festive Christmas.
I'm sorry, but it doesn't get more festive than a Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the epitome.
Oh my God, yes.
Just going back to the limp balls. Yeah. Obviously, you can't start with them. But would you eat a different flavoured one?
No.
She can't touch them.
No.
Why
do you like them?
Because back in the day in one of my old roles, we did some sort of partnership with Lindt, and we basically had these massive boxes, like 10 massive boxes filled to the brim with these balls. So you come into work and it'd be like, oh, 10 o'clock, oh, I have a limp ball. Like 11, I have another limp ball. Literally, we just ate them non-stop, and I cannot look at another one.
They are actually really sickly.
Have you had a dark one?
No, and this, I need to get this.
Oh my God, the dark one is so good. I'll buy some for the office.
Oh, that's
little,
nice.
Little treat.
It's £10.
Yeah, careful.
Maybe see if someone wants to. I'll get half
with you.
All right, I think we'll leave it there. Only two left this year, guys.
Oh my God.
If you've got any questions left for the last two podcasts of the year, then do email podcast@shitlux.com, or you can look out for the question box that goes live every week on Instagram. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.